to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
The light, if the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
Help someone who was a man of God, the pastor, but now he no longer wants to be a pastor. How can I help such a person? He says he has stopped the work of God. That's a difficult one. Two things. You need to find out why they stopped. But I'm going to show you also that it's a bit difficult to stop the work of God. Let me show you scripture, Jeremiah chapter 20. So Jeremiah was one of those prophets who was called in a period where things were hard. It was so hard to be Jeremiah, because in those days the people who were supposed to be believers didn't believe, and they were turning away from God like anyhow. So that was the time when Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. That's why he's calling, even when God was calling him, he had to tell him, like, no, you know, it's not starting from here. Before I was you were born, there was an ordination ceremony and things like that. And he's like, was I there? Because I've got no memory in my bowels, there's nothing. And God told him, you are my what? Huh? He told him, I will plant with you kingdoms and I will uproot kingdoms. He gave him a powerful ministry. Sometimes the powerful ministry of the ministry of a ministry is a reflection of the powerfulness of the evil. So God has to match it up and then, right? I'll tell you when I remember what he told him. So at one time, Jeremiah was undergoing depression. And when you read, you can tell. As a man of God, he was stressed. There are certain things you can't imagine me saying. Now, when you read, you're going to understand why I'm saying that. Are you there? So that you think I never wrote this. I want someone to read Jeremiah chapter 7, chapter 20 rather. Give me verse. Give me verse 7. Chapter 20, verse 7. Somebody read aloud. NKJV. And someone read it to read it to me. And I'm not saying that what you're about to read is allowed for you to say. I just want to show you that he was stressed. Because there's some things that people read, then they mislead themselves. Like somebody says, Timothy was taught to drink wine. And they say, so we can drink. But Timothy was drinking it for medical purposes. He had stomach issues. So they told him to take something that was strong, not to feel nice, but to treat his stomach situation. So if you want to drink alcohol, make sure you fit the description. Make sure you have a stomach sickness. So first invite the stomach sickness. And then you can now go and drink, right? Yeah, and just make sure it's the correct alcohol, the one that he was drinking, and make sure it's not just wine, it's strong drink, because that one was not the intoxicating one that he drank. Okay? So I'm just saying that to say, don't mislead yourself. Right, somebody read aloud NKJV, and somebody to read NLT.
Jeremiah 20, verse 7, NKJV. O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger.
He is blaming God. He's saying, God, you induced me into this calling. So he's saying many things. He's saying, you are the one who misled me. In fact, let me not even blame me. I'm the one who allowed you to mislead me. I'm the one with the problem. There's a wisdom diary I did where I was saying, if they disappoint you three times and on the third time you're disappointed, you are the problem. So now he realized, let me stop blaming him. I am the one with the problem here because I allowed myself. So people say things when they are frustrated. I'm not saying you should say them. I'm just saying people say things. So like Jeremiah, thank you. Jeremiah says, oh Lord, you misled me. And I allowed, even me, I allowed myself to be misled. Then he blames God. He said, you are stronger than me, so you overpowered me. He goes on to say, now I am mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me. When I speak, the words burst out. And I'm always prophesying doom, violence, and destruction, I shout. That's what he was saying. Because you give me these words. So these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke. Then these are words in his heart. He says, but if I say I will never mention the name of the Lord, I will never mention the Lord or speak in his name. He says, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. Another version says it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. So it's very difficult to run away from a calling because God hides it inside you. So the calling will begin talking to you in your bones. Then you feel like there are no answered prayers for the things you want. When you look at someone going through things, you feel the preaching coming, burning inside. How many have been so frustrated with some things you want in life, then when you see someone going through things, you just want to preach to them? That's the calling. You can pray for people. You are broke. You pray for them immediately. There's a friend of mine who came to me. And some of you know Pastor Shego. He said he needed money. He needed about 11,000 kwacha. And he said, if I don't have this money, you know, they are going to repossess his house and things like that because it belongs to council, so he needed to clear something. I wanted 100 kwacha. I was in need of 100 kwacha. None of you were discerning that the man of God. So I said to him, you know, there's a grace on my life. There's no one I've ever prayed for finances. I encouraged him first. I sold my products. I said to him, the product of prayer on my life works. He looked at me and said, amen. I just grabbed him and laid hands on him, prayed for him. An hour later, he called me and said, there's a lady that had helped in 2014 or somewhere there who said, you know, I just really need to say thank you for what you did. And she brought him exactly what that money that he needed, just to thank you. Wow. I was going to ask him if he still believes he can tithe to any other man of God. But then I realized, no, that one is not biblical. So I'm just saying that sometimes the ministry of God in a person's life is like a fire. There was a great man of God who died, I think in the 1960s. His name was Branham. Okay? Probably I've heard of the Branhamites. He was a great man. There was no prophet like him in his day. He would prophesy the week next meeting, how the people who are going to come were going to dress and how they are going to look and where they are going to sit. and they would wait for him and it would happen exactly. And it was not arranged. But he went into heresy, he went into error, started teaching some very strange things. So at that point, another man of God named Kenneth Hagin began to prophesy to him that if he doesn't change his ways, his time is up, he will not live. But, you know, he was happening, so he didn't listen. Because he was very influential. And when a person is very influential, if they begin teaching the wrong things, they don't last sometimes. So now what happens is, this time, his son was driving, I think. No, his son was driving in another car, and he was driving himself and his wife. And as they were going, a drunk man just came from nowhere and hit him, bam. And when the paramedics came in, he was on the floor, they were bleeding everywhere, his wife was gone. Then he was just right next to his wife. Then he tells his son, because even him he was dying, he tells his son, put my hand on your mother. So his son takes his hand and puts it on his wife. And he says, oh Lord, thank you for you hear us in time of need. And his wife coughed, boom, boom, came back to life. Then he died. So I'm just saying that I don't know if this is the right class for this kind of teaching. But I have seen the anointing do strange things. Strange things. Sometimes it behaves like it's got a mind of its own. All right. So even if he has stopped, it will still wake the anointing on his life. He will go to hell himself if he keeps singing, sinning. Even there in hell, it will wake. You see, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Yeah. There was a question that I was asked here. Right? How many were here? There was a question which I was asked. And the question was, can a person lose salvation? How many would like me to address it? How many heard it? Let me just make a quick comment. Can a person lose salvation? And you know, there were many brilliant answers and things like that. And I realize that this is a very interesting question. So people were saying you can't lose your salvation. And they gave very interesting argument. There was a guy seated in the corner. What did he say? He spoke a lot of English. He said, a person cannot lose their salvation because it's like a blood group. You can't change it. He said something like that. It's like when you're born that way. You know? So I thought that was brilliant. In fact, I supported him because I went to a scripture from Romans chapter 11, verse 29, which says, somebody read it to me from the NLT, Romans 11, 29. What does it say?
11, verse 29, NLT. For God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn.
So God cannot give you a calling or a gift and withdraw it. It's not in his nature. I'll give you examples of, okay, let me not even just people. Satan. How come he still has all that power today? He never gave himself that power. Remember, the Bible says, you are perfect from the day of your creation until sin was found in you. So he was chased out of heaven, but his gifts were not chased out of him. So he is still very cunning, because the Bible says, and the serpent was the most cunning creature that God had ever made. So why was the serpent used by Satan? Because the serpent was initially cunning, and Satan needed a very clever creature to use. So the first creature that he used was a serpent, because the serpent was cunning, and cunning beings are easy to mislead. And then he speaks to Eve and things like that. And even today, he's very, He's very clever. You know, he goes to Jesus and he starts saying, you won't die. Relax. Why do you talk like this? Why do you think your boys are going to die? Just you hear I'm going to die. Relax. And he said, look, we have left our families to follow you. You're telling us you're going to die. We've left everything. It's not fair. And it sounds very reasonable. That's how cunning Satan is. You need grace to deal with Satan. And even when he's waking, he's a typical angel. They don't leave their mark. The way artists drawn, they say, drawn by name. Have you ever seen a very messy divorce? Then on the divorce certificate, there's a name, Mwaseka Ring. No, he doesn't show up. You need to be very discerning. He still has that power. It's a wisdom that he corrupted. Have you ever seen wisdom that's corrupted? It still works. It still works, and very effectively. In the Bible, there was a gentleman named Ahithophel. Ahithophel had a big problem with David because Ahithophel was the grandfather of Uriah's father. Was Uriah's grandfather, if my memory serves me correct. And he was David's best friend. And then David sleeps with his granddaughter-in-law and then kills Uriah, his grandson. So he was so bitter that when Absalom, David's son, decided to do a coup d'etat on his father, Ahithophel advised him and said, get all his wives and sleep with them in the public. Get all of David's wives. Do you know what that means? That means the entirety of David's integrity and line of seed will be corrupt. It will be a way of corrupting the whole kingdom. Because what they used to do normally, here's what they used to do. Back in the day, the king, if the king has five wives, in the palace, right, they would not allow any man with reproductive organs to be there. And many of the people that served closely to the king, they were castrated. So that only the king can reproduce. So people like Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego were known to have been castrated. So that there's only one bloodline in the palace. There are no mistakes that secretly someone has given birth and they think it's the king, but it's not. They were not going to do that. So when Ahithophel advised Absalom out of bitterness, that was to destroy the whole kingdom. And it was going to work because the Bible says of Ahithophel, the counsel of the Lord was upon him. And it was said in the days that if you go in Ahithophel's tent and you come out, you feel like God had talked to you. So, the gifts of God are without repentance, even if they are abused. That's how come you find... I was watching a story of this young boy. I bumped into this story. What's the name of this boy? Rema. I think he's Nigerian. And then he was telling his story. Then he was saying... How many have heard of that boy called Rema? He's Nigerian. Don't go and research. I'm just asking if you know him. How many have heard of him? Right. Some of you even have him in your phone. But if you don't delete that music, your phone will have a virus you'll not recover from after 2 days. So if you just want to see something. All right, now here's what I want to tell you. I was listening to his story, and he said, I used to be in the church, and I used to sing and serve in the church. But he said, but there was no money home. And he said, I didn't believe in taking from what was being given at church. I don't think that's absolutely true. So he said, once in a while, I went into clubs, and they liked me, and they paid me. And then he says, so I kept going, until eventually I just exiled. I just left, right? And the moment that he left the church, and by the way, his mother has disagreed with him, and he says it publicly. The moment that he left the church and went into the world, he blew. When Selena Gomez are with him, Lady Gaga attended his gig, like, and you see, you are watching him. He still has a church spirit because, you know, he's talking to Lady Gaga and said, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming for my show. You are such a blessing. And guess what? The boy is still dropping hits in the context of the world. But what makes him drop the hit? The gift has not been withdrawn from him. So if you look at his videos, for example, the videos now, they are sensual. There's always a girl dancing with things. In fact, one of them looked like a cult. Yeah, because they were kneeling, they were wearing red and things like that. But then he's so creative. So if Satan, normally he's looking for the intelligent ones. Now, he's not the one who gave them that intelligence. The Bible already says that the serpent was the most cunning creature that God made. So it was already wise in the first place. So what Satan does is he just drops contamination. So the wisdom will still work, but it will be very corrupt. It will do big things, but big damaging. Imagine the idea of Albert Einstein, right? That can destroy the world. The E is equal to MC squared. I will recommend some movies for you. Look at the chemical formulas that were used for the Nagasaki Hiroshima. Where do you think the wisdom to come up with that kind of atomic bomb came from? Huh? It was those kinds of wisdom were initially designed to save. But when they are twisted, they can do the exact opposite. So if you study Lucifer from the way he was designed, initially he was designed to govern. That's the kind of wisdom he was given, to govern properly. And to govern, you need wisdom. You need to know how to relate with people. You need to have people skills. Now, you can have people skills. God designed him to be a politician. To have people skills, you need a particular wisdom. He was a governor. So even when he went to the angels to campaign, it was not something that they were not used to, because he already used to go there to deliver the manifestos of God, the projects that God wants to do, and to mobilize the workforce to do the work. So when he went to readdress them, it's like, imagine I take, Pastor Mono now comes to tell you something that, he says, no, it's Pastor who said it. And because of your relationship with her over time, you say, yes. So Satan is also looking for very gifted people. That's how come you find that some of the strangest people in church are the gifted ones, because he knows that if this person with this kind of voice, right, or this person with this kind of administrative skill, if they are let loose in the church, I'm over. So he makes sure they are the ones he impacts with all kinds of strangeness. Yeah. Oh, wanga fe wo de official yo se fe. So you see, when I discovered that I am gifted by God, one of the things I really need to grow in, number one, is character. That's why I teach character development very passionately. Because if you lack character and you are gifted, you will make it big in the secular world. Then now when you are 60, you say, Lord, I'm sorry, but what will you show before you? Nothing. So, I'm looking at that boy. And the kind of videos he's releasing and the millions of views that he's hitting. And when you watch that, when you watch the kind of sensuality that's there. And let me say something. You know, you need to train yourself to be innocent. You can train yourself to be innocent. Right? If you see a wound that has passed, there's a way you feel. A big wound on the leg with pus. Let's imagine you even see spirit and salt and water on the side. But do you know that medical people don't feel what you are feeling? They feel a bit sorry. Do you know why? Their innocence has been damaged. They don't have it. It's gone, the innocence. In fact, most of them don't even see patients as people. They see them as patients. Because after 4, 5 years, 7 years of training, 3 years, you've seen too much. It's just one of those things you've seen. You've seen things. If to you it's just a department. You are spiritual. You are spirit. So you will now need to stay away from the hospital for 5 years to go back and be shocked at the wound. So in the same way, you know, when people watch too much pornography, for example, when they see people on the TV just kissing, it's nothing to them. Yet you who doesn't watch, when you see people kissing, pass. Because everything in you that has breath is. Then they want deeper. That's when they will feel something. And if you watch those videos and you are not scared, you've damaged your innocence. So at some point when you watch that, you need to just 5 seconds of watching it, you need, what did you do to yourself? There are some things you must not watch. Some people have got this. Let me not call it a fetish. People have got this affinity in them. They will just be watching. They are not doctors, but they just like watching surgeries. What's wrong with you? You see, okay, if you take a kid, I remember a few weeks ago, There's this thing that Joab gave me. I don't know if you gave me or I don't know. But there's that headstock you have which is cut here. Right? Yes. So I wore it and so I wanted to scare my wife, boring. I just wanted to scare someone that day. No, I need to confess. So I wore it and my wife was like, okay, number one, that's boring. Number two. I really tried. I think once in a while, just. No. It never worked on her. And then she said, number two, don't do that on my son. And then I was like, you are sure. So then he was coming. Then I looked at him. The boy falls. He falls. So I was thinking, what is not scared? And then after 5 seconds, screams. I started to cry. And he was traumatized the whole night. That's why I was praying for forgiveness. I was praying for forgiveness. You know, I thought we are boys, we do scary stuff. And I saw my wife now praying for him. Then he calmed down. I felt like I'm not a good Christian. So, okay, here's the point I make. My wife was, because she's been scared a lot in life. She's seen a lot. She's scared. She has seen a lot of scary things. So it's nothing. But the same thing I showed my son, what's the difference? He is innocent. So sometimes your reaction to things can tell whether you need to rebuild your innocence or you're okay. But you see, why those videos are up there and they are full of sensuality is to damage your innocence. And what happens when you lack innocence? What happens? Especially you people who work in the advertising industry. Everything has to be sexy. Okay, let me not get there. I will lose my way. You watch and those videos, they have a goal. But what happens when a person loses their innocence is that there's a consistent streak of guilt in their spirit. And if you are guilty, you can't stand confidently before God. You can't. So anyways, that boy, I saw those videos and I was like, ha, this is what people watch. And this is the standard the world has raised, that in order for your video to sell, there are certain things. You know, even some of the poses that people do. Now, I know this touches on the ladies a lot. I was like, you have to sell something. Someone is doing like a GIF. I need to have 2 million women listening to me right now. Because they have suffered passion. They have suffered passion. They have suffered passion. You know, the Bible says better to marry than burn with passion. Whatever that means, but I'm sure the brothers. Because of some of those things, you make the people suffer passion. Just make sure it's here the word. Go and don't participate in those things as believers. Because you are supplying strange feelings. What are you doing? Why are you twerking? For what reason? And we catch you twerking here, you are suspended. Even just some poses. Why are you doing that? Okay, why is your tongue out? You are just posing, your tongue is out, your eyes are looking sleepy. What are you trying to achieve? Just said you still look pretty. Okay, dismissed. I am Pastor Daniel and I approve this message. The Bible says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be ye. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Be careful. So, that boy, he is still powerful. But now his powerful misleading people. Putting out wrong content. And all of you content creators, please, 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 make sure you create content. It has to be catchy, it has to be exciting, but let it be morally upright. Yes. In this day and age, God is using content creation to reach out to souls. Yes. So let's make sure we create content, because God will judge us for it. Remember the vision I shared with you, where I'm standing in the presence of God and God is asking me, why didn't you post? Now, I've just never painted that picture vividly. The throne of God was there and Jesus was sitting right there and there were many thrones around and I was standing like in a witness box and I was being asked, last Sunday, why didn't you post the flag? Then immediately I remembered Kaswek.
Yeah.
And you see, I don't know how it was in the spirit, but I attended and she was right there. So some of you, you'll be there during my judgment. And then when I looked at her, all her attention shifted and she had to give a report as to why she didn't post a flyer. Because I was about to tell God, I told her. But I believe God gave me that encounter not just for Cass. Because Cass is not even like one of the senior most leaders. But there are some of you very gifted people that God brought here. Anyway, why haven't you? Yesterday there was rehearsal. I'm thinking, where are these people? Who? There are no instruments. Someone suddenly says, I am sick. Another person says, I have traveled. Felix, what are you doing this? So, the gift is not lost, is it? It's not lost. It's still working. Just the way salvation is a gift. The person showed me Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Somebody read it for me. NKJV, let's begin from verse 8.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible reads, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Are you saying that? Salvation is a what? It's a gift. So if we read Romans chapter 11, verse 29, which is the gifts and God and callings of God cannot be withdrawn. Already we are being shown here that you can't lose salvation. Is it a gift? The gift. So God cannot take away salvation. You can't lose salvation. Now, how many gifts do you know? The salvation, gifts of the Spirit, how many are they?
Righteousness.
What? Those are the only gifts you know. Which other gifts do you know? Tongues, healings. There are many gifts, right? So, a man can never lose his salvation. I want us to look at Matthew 7. Because we have a very nice problem here. And so before you get angry with me, let's finish the Bible study. The disappointed. Pastor Daniel has lost his way. Right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to verse 21. Anybody? You can read for us, Varida. You can read.
Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter.
Let's go on.
On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesy.
Is prophecy a gift?
Yes.
Good.
And cast out demons in your name.
Is casting out of demons as well a gift?
Yes.
Right, next.
And performed many miracles in
your name. Is miracles a gift as well?
Yes.
Right.
But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.
So, what he's trying to suggest is that it's not the gift he'll take away. He will not say, hey, in fact, bring back my gift. No, they will keep the gift. So, the gift of workings of miracles, the gift of tongues, the gift of prophesying, they will keep it. The gift of salvation, they will keep it, but they will go to hell with the gift.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, they worked miracles, they had gifts in his name. But he said, are you your lawbreakers? So go with your gifts to hell. So you will go to hell saved. No, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance here on earth and in the life to come. Okay. That is a balanced way of looking at the scriptures. Even in hell, people will be able to speak in tongues. Look at this. He says, I will reply to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Let me explain something quickly to you. He says in the NKJV, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So, it's like having the gift of righteousness is one thing, but practicing that gift is another. So there are people who've received the gift of salvation, but they don't work it out with fear and trembling. There are people who've received the gift of righteousness, but what they practice is the works of sin. The work of the flesh is what they practice. So he's not looking at what was imparted to you, he's looking at what you are actually practicing after it was imparted to you. So righteousness is a gift, but the practice of it is called godliness. There are many righteous people, but few godly people. So don't just say, hey, it's about the heart. No, it's not what's in your heart. We want to see it. You can't say, I'm saved in my heart. No, the relationship with God is in the chest. No. It needs to be seen in what you do, what you say, what you post, how you live secretly and publicly. The Bible says, if you have repented, show then fruits of righteousness. You have to bear fruits of righteousness. Righteousness has fruits. There's a way you talk. There's a way you hoard your wrong motives. You hoard them. It's a practice of righteousness. You do the right thing even though you feel like doing the wrong thing. You say the right confessions. You treat people correctly. You go to church. You pray. All those are practices of righteousness. You avoid sin. The Bible says, avoid every kind of evil. You fight the sin. Hallelujah. Okay. So, this pastor, he will still continue being a pastor because it's a gift. Just tell him that it's still a gift, you won't lose it, but it's booky where you're going. Dear Senior Pastor Daniel, I don't know if this can count as a question, but ever since you preached about childhood trauma, I haven't been well. I have been battling against crippling depression and anxiety, and I don't know what to do. So, if it started when I preached, I'm not the one who brought it. Okay, let me tell you this. There are problems that lay in wait for a moment. They can seriously come for you. So you are okay, but you don't know that you're not okay. So what a preaching like the one I did does is that it provokes the problem that's already there. So when that problem is provoked, it's like people were saying, you know, when I was holding myself, I didn't know that I had this problem when I was a child. Remember those testimonies? People would say, I didn't know, but God just brought it as a flash. So for some people, it's like, you don't know that you've had a problem all this while. Then God brings it to your attention, then you deal with it. But some may have a spirit attached to them. So if they are not dealt with in prayer and counseling, you find that the evil spirit is now angered because we tempered with it. And because your mind has not been trained, so I'm just trying to make you realize that I'm not the one who brought the problem. So maybe you can see me, but I could be the one who immunized it. That's the word. I surfaced it. It was already there, right? So you could see me. How does one build their confidence in themselves, in the fact that they are wonderfully created by God, and not be mindful of whatever ill comments the world may throw at them? I was watching, I think Deacon Gabriel was watching a random video on his phone, and this guy was saying, they've discovered an oil to cure bald heads and hair loss, right? So I was upset with him. I said, who told you that being bald-headed is a sickness? I felt like that. And see, if you're not careful, sometimes you can listen to things and then you have a sickness which you never had because of what you're listening. So, yeah, so I'm sick. What do you mean? No, I'm not the one. No, you are the one playing. So, don't play with a spiritual person. You'll be rebuked for what you've not done. I'm good. I am good. You want me to get a haircut? Okay, what were bald-headed people doing in the days where there was no haircut? So they were ugly. No, I'm not saying look anyhow. let me manage my comments. One of the reasons I have not cut my hair is because I cut my hair weekly. So sometimes I just need my head to breathe. You know, being bald-headed is high maintenance. Let me explain. Because when you're bald-headed, if the hair just grows a bit, you want to cut. So I cut hair every week. So on Sundays, especially when we're meeting, you would see me always looking fresh. Because I'm always cutting. But sometimes after so much machine in your head, You just want to let the head breathe. So now that I'm looking like this, ule fire fimbe. So I'm trying, even you ladies, once in a while, what's over for Basinin? It's okay. Not every day, but once in a while, you just let your skin. You know what I'm saying? The people are always now doing the makeup. There's nothing I can do. What do you want me to do? That's how God made me. I used to have hair. I remember there was a time my hair grew so much, like that boy. My hair grew so much. You know, there are a number of things people don't believe about me. Like, I used to gym. There are many things people don't believe. But it's okay. It's okay. But I don't have to prove to you that I used to gym, and I'm not lying. But then if you fast for a while, what are you going to be gymming? Because you can't do both. So one of my healthiest ways of staying healthy is eating properly. And I'll begin doing exercises. Maybe just not yet. Walking and running. I'm planning on beginning walking and running, but that's as far as I can go. I can't. So, you know, there was one time when I actually used to grow hair a lot. And there was actually a time when I remember it was so much. And back in the day, you know, Kuma 206. So what I did, I just finished graduating. We used to take a pressing iron so that it looks a bit permed, right? So I took it and I permed my hair. Then when my father saw me with long permed hair, he was upset. How do you do that? No, I'm not going to come from Rudy. You know, and another kind of thing. But it was just hair. Very strange, but I have a certain young brother. Him here, he grew so much here, even at the Mohawk at some point. They never stopped him. I won't mention it. I have many young brothers. The point I make is at some point you need to be comfortable with your skin. Yeah. Some of this, you never did it to yourself. I'm going to follow up in people for men, so what do you feel? Don't die. Just pray, thank God. There's nothing you can do. That's how come people now begin to bleach themselves. Yeah. It's okay the way you are. Yeah. The weird thing is, I've never seen those who are light want to reverse bleach themselves. So one of the ways to convince yourself that you are fearfully and wonderfully made is to begin caring less. I'll cut my hair when I'm ready. I'll go to the barbershop, I'll cut my hair, I body it again, I'll start every week. When I am ready. Don't put me under pressure. Someone say no pressure.
No pressure.
As long as my wife has not complained, we good. But I'm sure she's just waiting. She'll be tired of pretending at some point. So maybe this week, before I am greeted, I will. So that's number one, careless. Number two, if it's an infirmity, speak to it. But when you walk out, don't be too conscious of what people are thinking. Some people, the problem is they're thinking, what are people thinking? They are not thinking anything. They've got pressures. They failed their course. So don't think on their behalf. You have to think about what are people thinking. Also, the voice you hear a lot is the voice of your thoughts, and your thoughts have not been helping you. So use the voice of your mouth now. Every time you look at yourself in the mirror, say, I am so pretty. Me too. Even in a relationship, at some point you need to. When you dated for some time, you said, this is the most handsome man I've ever seen. This is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And you see, what begins to happen is, when you begin telling yourself that, your mind and your feelings and your eyes begin to adjust. That's how you grow yourself to be disciplined. Akanika most beautiful. The rest bagote. I just read that from your pastor. Then why are you getting offended? Then you're caught. Anyway, the point I just make is, the more you say that, the more your mind begins to adjust and you stop looking at my other men and my other women. So this is that you begin feeling what you are confessing. You are enough the way you are. The size of your nose is the one you are given. So what you can do is the bare minimum. Do the bare minimum, like bath, look good, eat properly. That's the bare minimum. Don't go extra. People now are going kukurima botched surgery. A person now looks like a troll with three nostrils. Not because that's how they were born, but because they went for a surgery. Then when they cut, they forgot to do what, and so they want it. It was botched. So confess the right things as well. Hey Dad, what is the best way to overcome the fear of the unknown? So number one, it's deliverance. You may need to be delivered because a fear and anxiety, sometimes it's an attack from the enemy. It's clicking some kabata and then so sometimes you may need to be delivered. One, then two, always confess the word of God. At some time, something will break. Get all the scriptures that speak against fear and begin feeding your soul and your mind on those scriptures. As you do that, you're going to notice one day, it could be a dream, it could be an encounter, it will just break off because you have built a structure against your pain. That's the way. Those are the two ways. How do I help people that are broken or deeply depressed or traumatized without letting any of it take me in the process? How do I give this help without actually getting emotionally involved with people I meet in this category? Right. To some extent, you can't avoid being emotionally involved. The Bible says of Jesus, our high priest, that he is touched with the pain of our emotions and our infirmities. And the Bible says he looked at them as sheep without a shepherd and had compassion over them. And that word compassion is the word splankna. It means to be moved from the intestines. So it's like when you see people in pain, you even hear the person's stomach go grrr. Some people, the only time you do grrr is when you smell nice food. But when you see people's pain, you are fine. So sometimes it's difficult. The Bible says Jesus wept, not because he had no power, but he saw how the others were crying at the tomb of Lazarus. So sometimes you can't absolutely avoid. In fact, I've noticed that power flows the most when you are, when you have compassion over the people you are praying for, not just. That's how it flows best, in a spirit of compassion, right? But then the issue is, like, there are people who sometimes you avoid some things. Sometimes, like, there are people who maybe because there's a kind of development they had not undergone spiritually, you find that when they prayed for someone and the person still died, they're now afraid of praying for people because they think that it will happen. So even in ministry, you can have an experience that traumatizes you. So sometimes you can just avoid some things. The Bible says, for example, that in Galatians 6 verse 1, it says, when someone has been overtaken by sin, you who are spiritual should go and restore that person. But it says, be careful lest you are tempted yourselves. So that's why it says those who are spiritual should go and do that kind of job. So sometimes just avoid some things. Sometimes just avoid some things. They've heard you pray consistently in your house, then they tell you, there's a charm under the bed. Let's go remove it. You're the prayerful one. Say, let me call my zonal pastor. Shall we do it together? I had some of those instances where I was told, there's this woman, she's sick. When I reached there, I found in the house there was a shrine, and I was told that under her bed, kwale chenda mo. Okay. And they were so happy because they believed in me. I remember, I don't think you know the story, let me tell you. I remember when I was being introduced to Pastor Mono. This guy believed in me so much that he said to me, there's this girl, she has TB. I'm bringing her. Because he came to church for one of the first times. You know, and there was power. You know, I was happening. So he now says to me, I know a chick. She's got TB. And he says to me, I'm bringing her. She has TB. So now I'm thinking, does he know TB, this one? Firstly, I've got a lot of young people here, other people's children. So I said to him, take your time. So when he noticed that I'm resisting the idea, he snuck her in. So I didn't know the chick I was praying for. At TB. No, I just went prophesying, releasing power. And she got healed. Wow. Now when she said, I had TB, then I said, praise God. Sometimes it's better to not know what you have dealt with. It was later on that I told her. And now I just told her, knowing now. You know, the anointing on my life. Let me tell you this last story. There was, okay, no, let me tell you another one. There was a time when this king in this village had a big river which had a lot of crocodiles there. So his daughter was of age, very beautiful. And then many men wanted to marry her, but he didn't want. He said, okay, the one who is going to swim, it was a crocodile-infested area, a river. He said, the one who swims from this end to the other will marry my daughter. So many men came, they tried, some of them are overflowing the bed in there. Some came, they swam, they were eaten. You know, So, suddenly, as they were sitting watching the river, they just saw a gentleman swimming fast until we reached the end, breathing. Everyone is saying, "Yeah, this is a man. This is a man." Man, everyone was clapping. So he now goes to the king, and the king says, "Are you ready?" Then he says, "Ready for what?" The king says, "Ah, okay. What do you want?" So I just want the fool who pushed me into this river. So he was a stranger who was moving around. Then someone pushed me. And as he was swimming, he sees a crocodile. So now he swam for his survival. So sometimes it's better to not know than to know. Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand on our feet.